AW Masters, Reel 3.
What happened? You arrived at Shockley in the evening, I think. Time for a meal, anyway.
Well, of course, you arrived at Harwich, you see, and the process to Shockley was by ferry boat across the harbour, which was, that was an experience on its own. But once you got there, you became one large flock. There was a matter, I think the population of Shockley in those days would be in the vicinity of 1,500, possibly up to 2,000 boys, of similar ages. Those who had been there any length of time had progressed through their initial standards. And of course, by the time we arrived, those were old sailors. They'd been there at least 6 months. But the old thing was, you joined into the service, and the instructor who was destined to be your instructor for, say, the first 6 weeks at least, they took you through the all initial stages, which after the provision of meal, and again, more medical inspection on arrival there, come up to their standard, you see. And then there was the kitting up, you see, provision of uniform, which, of course, in those days, the initial uniforms were, well, what's I say, a bit rough.
Ill-fitting sort of garments.
Well, they were anything. They were made up, you see. They were individually supplied to each boy, but the point was, there was no finer touches about anything, you see. And you soon learned that, as you're told, and there's three meals a day, and of course the early morning reveille, 6 o'clock I think it was in those days, and then there was PT, early morning, rain, snow or blow, that was just the same. And of course the Ganges, where I went to at Shockley, you see, there was this large mast which still stands, and we looked at that and go, oh blimey, you'd only hesitated once, over. And if you had any reluctance about going, you soon overcame that because you went.
Did they, if you had some reluctance, would they encourage you by any method?
Yes,
what sort of ways would they encourage you?
Well, you see, there was always a large number of physical training instructors, both seamen and marines, and they used to place themselves in such a way that on the rigging, for instance, you see, the first thing that you did was off shoes, over the top and bare feet, you see, which of course was the thing in those days, because the old sailing ships that they were using for training still had the old sailing navy ideas. Therefore, if you was on the beach, you was unlucky because you had the same training. But it didn't do us any harm. Mm. And these instructors would place themselves in such a position that if a boy once got on the lower rigging, you see, they would encourage them. Then there'd be two more up the other four top, you see. And if there was a kid starting to show, it was saying, come on, over, come on, this way. And of course, it's one of those things. It's like everything else in life. Once you've done it, you can repeat it. But there were some, you see people, you even see grown adults do it, get on a ladder and they can't move. But they would get underneath them, you see. Say, come on, up you go. Up, up. Don't look down. Where you go? Up. And of course, as I say, as the years passed on, well, so when it came our turn to be in charge, then he was just the same, you see.
And on the first time up aloft, we'll come back to some other things, you go, obviously, you haven't seen this before, and you've got to make an effort. There is a safety net, I think we say.
Oh, yes.
But you've got to get around, particularly onto the main top, the main yard, you call it merchant service, and you could climb through the rigging that way and go through what...
But you didn't, because there was an instructor each side, inside, you see. The moment they started, in those days, corporal punishment was still in vogue. And they used to carry a length of rubber, a bit of square rubber about 18 inches long, you see, and you get wallop right across the knuckles. And didn't do that again. They said, no, over you go, go on,
What's it like when you actually go out the Futtock Shroud and round? I mean, the first time, can you remember looking? Because you'd be...
What I was told was, I mean, we were all told the same, don't look down. There's a keep up. And you're aware that you're at that angle. You're coming up here. You see, so that you know you've got to hang on. And up come your vets. You see, well, the moment you get up to the foretop, you get over the rung above, and it's like another lease of life. You see, the time you got over that, you look, oh, blimey, there's nothing in it. And it's one of those things. I mean, it's like millions of things you came across in the service in those and after days.
Would you find boys who actually got stuck, froze, and who just wouldn't go any further?
Yes, I have seen that.
What was the Navy's attitude? How did they
They would give them about, we'll say, 1,000 chances, opportunities to overcome it. And they did largely, the majority by persuasion. There was no forcing about it. They could persuade a youngster that there was no danger. And as I say, eventually the majority came out of it, but you'd always come against the odd case where they were reluctant to even do anything. Saying, all right, well, that's that, not up to standard. And they'd, give them another medical examination, test nerves and so forth.
You took it quite seriously, in fact.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes.
And you, was this done daily? You went round over the mast, right up?
Every morning, top, yes.
Every morning and down again.
Yeah.
How many at a time? This would be is there a class at a time?
Yeah.
Class at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, when you arrived at Shotley and we jumped ahead, you actually were split up into classes.
Classes, yeah.
What numbers were in the classes and what arrangement, I mean, what base were they split? Was it names, numbers or ability? Or?
No, it was just a sort of, we'll say, they had a list come up. Just suppose there were, we'll say, 50 boys arrived. All right, there'd be two classes. There might be 25 in a class, you see. 20, 25. I wouldn't swear to the actual number now. But those classes remained constant. Once formed, they went through their first syllabus of instruction, and it was always taught that these classes were, of course, given a number. And the thing that was imbued every time was, you're 204 class, and don't forget it.
You got a number, in fact.
204 is going to do the top. And it gave the necessary inspiration to get the best, which was very successful.
The instructors, in fact, actively encouraged you to, you know, promote the group.
Yeah.
This was the idea, was to, the group, not the individual.
No. And the idea was, you see, I could see it afterwards, that same spirit implied, once you got to a ship, you're this ship, whatever one it might be, you see, to the exclusion of him or him. And your whole effort was there. But if anything else was happening, you was a common service. And God help the bloke who come along like a Yanker wanted to take charge and tear it.
And they say these groups stayed with you. You also said that the Navy, apart from hygiene, took cleanliness and hygiene very seriously.
Definitely.
So you going through the day's routine, you had a bath.
Yes.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
How was this done? Was it in cold water or?
No, normally, I mean, there was always heating arrangements. The cold water might apply in a seagoing ship, the training ship, where, of course, the facilities weren't the same as they were in the barracks at Shotley. You see, because the Shotley then was a then new phase, and they were making people soft by the provision of hot water. That's what it boiled down to, you see. We know that wasn't the case, but the washing arrangements were such that on turning out in the morning, the very first thing was clean the teeth and wash and bath as required. And, of course, another thing that was instructed there was washing of clothes, you see, because in the service in those days, you had no such animal as a laundry. And it was necessary for every youngster to know how to do his dobbing, and how to keep clean, and God help you if you wasn't, because, you see, they used to have the various routine early in the morning, for instance. There would always be prayers every morning, and divisions in which everybody was inspected, you see, and you had to be up to scratch. If a youngster had a dirty suit on, he'd have to explain why. You see, if it was something of his own neglect, well, he'd immediately, during the dinner, I'd go and wash that suit out. There was white canvas suits in those days. Well, white duck suits they were, not canvas. And, as I say, the whole thing centred on the teaching of cleanliness and hygiene, which was essential, because it's quite easy to understand that the majority of the ships leaving in those days were coal. Well, they all were, except a few destroyers. And you just had to insist on the standard being maintained.
Did you notice that some people were a little bit slow to grasp hygiene, that some boys come from backgrounds where...
Well, there are people slow in every walk of life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter only about the poorer class, because, I mean, you come across sometimes, well, I've been in ships with, well, even officers who didn't come up to scratch. You know, they didn't maintain the same standard all the way through. There's a lot of it, of course, is due to, well, every person's got their own ideas.
So anyway, just to go back to routine, you bath, brush your teeth, these were the first things. Then you got, I think you said, cocoa and sea biscuits, first thing after this, before you went to your PT or whatever over the mat.
Yeah.
That was served in the routine. Bath, cocoa, biscuits in the morning. After that, you went
breakfast.
On desk. That was breakfast came...
After PT.
After PT, yes.
Yeah.
Or would PT include going over the top, or would this...
Not necessarily.
No,
there was separate... Not always. I mean, there was other means. You see, the gymnasiums were fitted out with all sorts of gear that they do have. Horses and racks and... fences and edges and mats and everything else that they had. So that, I mean, you had to go right through the gamut, you see. But the mask was the essential to start with.
And that was done, in fact, daily? Every day?
Well, pretty well every day, yeah.
Yes. Saturdays and Sundays too?
In majority of cases, well, we'll say Sundays not so often.
And you, in a place like Shotley, of course, you can't really scrub decks, do you? You don't... I mean...
No, but you had your mess to scrub out, just the same.
Yes. That was done in that time, was it?
After breakfast,
after
of course. Oh, yes,
that was done. Breakfast was a cooked meal arrangement.
Yes, always.
What would you get for breakfast?
Well, it depends. I mean, you got quite a variety. Egg and bacon. Bacon and tomatoes. Sausage and bacon, and the general run of things. Yes.
And how was the arrangement for messing in Shotley then?
Well, it was a marvellous idea, really, because it was a new thing as far as the Navy in those days was concerned, and general messing. By that I mean the old provisions were provided by the catering officer, who was a paymaster, commander, or other rank, whichever suited the size of the job. But they would provide they would cause to be provided all the food and the cooking arrangements. They had big galleys, which, of course, nowadays they had big kitchens. But the idea was, you see, all the cook personnel were trained as such, and the first thing the general boys saw of it was when it was ready for the table. And in the big dining hall they had huge steam-heated chests. So the food was brought from the galleys. And if there was any delay for the boys, it was put in these large steam-heated chests to keep it hot. And they used to be very well fed, really.
The boys would elect or organise two...
No, the instructor would do the lot under those conditions, you see.
Yes, he would...
Because he would simply say, right, you two, that table, you two, that table. And there was no argument about it, you see, but in later sphere, in the same establishment, for instance, you see, the instructor didn't do it. Because by then, you see, we were learning that, right, it might be your job to be in charge. See, right, you two will be responsible. You see, so then you could nominate two others.
But at that time, the class of your 25 would be between two tables, and was this be daily, he would say, or for a week, or for a meal, he would assign cooks to the galley, or would he?
No, not in Shotley, no. No, the whole thing came under the auspices of the instructors there, but it wasn't until you got to a ship or to the bigger naval depots in Chatham, Portsmouth or Devonport, where the detailing would cook of the mess, you see, because by then everybody got the groundwork done. You see.
Which is what, in fact, you were being taught.
You were learning all the time, you see, from the time you was there.
But the thing I wanted to get there, I think we talked about it earlier, was that certain boys each day would be, would be told by the instructor. That
that's
was
right.
The only difference. Who actually distributed the food from the table? Would it be
the boys themselves?
Themselves
under the instruction of the instructor.
And sometimes you said that the officers would pay visits to the mess when the
duty officer was supposed to come round every meal time.
Did he come round every meal time?
Yeah, yes, quite religiously.
And you could, if you...
Well, they come along to the end of the mess table and say, any complaints? And it wasn't just a matter of routine. If there were, voice them. They'd be dealt with on the spot.
Would they?
But there were very seldom any complaints.
Can you remember anybody actually make a complaint which was dealt with?
Just a simple affair. But, I mean, there was nothing serious at any time.
What was the incident of...